Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I want to invite you, if you will, to open in your Old Testament to the book of Ecclesiastes, last chapter of that book. I want us to begin there, at least tonight. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes is unique among the books of the Bible. There's not another book that's quite like it. And in this book, we have a record of King Solomon's reflections about life under the sun, life lived in this world. And for some people, I suspect, there is some unexpected things that you find in the observations made by Solomon. There are some who seem to be convinced that life is supposed to be dull and tedious, but when you read through Ecclesiastes, it's clear that Solomon pointed out that it's okay to enjoy life. That's something that we can do as people who have been made by God. When some people hear that, though, I'm sure they think to themselves, you're not going to have to tell me twice. I'm going to live my life to the full, and I'm going to do whatever it is that I want to do. And, of course, that's not really what Solomon was encouraging in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's true that Solomon pointed out that we ought to enjoy life, but it's also true that we need to do that while keeping everything else in perspective. And so I want you to see how the end of this book reads in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 12. When you come to the end, it says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." And so, each of us is to fear God. We are to keep His commandments because, as it says, God's going to hold us accountable for what we do. And He's going to bring every deed of ours into judgment. And what that says to us is that everything that we do is significant. Every deed or every act counts. And as we begin this evening, I want us to see that our character really is formed in large part by the accumulation of the decisions that we make. Have you ever noticed that when people become dissatisfied with where they are in life, it's tempting for them to kind of put all of the blame on their circumstances, on things that are just beyond their control? So many people do that. And it's not uncommon for people to believe that they would be better off in life if only their circumstances had been different. And how many people have made a statement along these lines? You know, it's not my fault, and for whatever reason. But what I want you to see tonight is that in all of the important ways, we are all products of the decisions that we have made. God made us with the freedom of will that was necessary to choose what we're going to do with our lives, and He allows us to make those choices. And I do recognize, and I'm sure you do as well, that things like environment do play a part in shaping who we are. But we need to recognize that the things that we have voluntarily thought and the things that we have spoken and the things that we have done, those are the things that determine our character. Character is not formed by circumstances. It's formed by what we choose to do with our circumstances. And so when all is said and done, we are who we are because of what we've said and what we've done and even what we've thought. We're not who we are simply because of the circumstances that we face. And we all know people who have made poor decision after poor decision despite being given numerous opportunities. We see that in our world. And we've also known people who made wise choices despite less than ideal circumstances. They've chose to take that on and do the right thing regardless. You see that in the Scriptures. I want you to think for a moment about men like Joseph or Daniel. Neither of them was placed in ideal circumstances. Joseph was taken to Egypt as a slave. Daniel was taken to Babylon as a captive. Both of them were young men at the time, and they could have made all kinds of excuses for living in a way that they shouldn't have lived. Yet they both remained faithful. In Genesis chapter 39 and verse 9, when confronted with temptation, Joseph would say, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He chose to be faithful. And Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, we find that he resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. He made a decision to do what was right. And then on the other side of things, you think about someone like Samson, and although he was put in a position to have a major impact on the nation of Israel, his life in some ways was a tragedy of his own making. When I look at what it said, it seems he refused to exercise sound judgment and self-control, and he paid dearly for that. And everything he suffered was from the decisions that he made. God still used him, but he had no one to blame but himself and those things that came upon him. And what I'm trying to say is that we bear the responsibility for what we've made of ourselves. And in a sense, each of us is a self-made person. And when Paul wrote to the Galatians, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, he stated what is a basic and fundamental principle. It's one that is not violated. Whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Just mark it down. That's how it works. And so in large part, we are what we've chosen to be. But let me ask you this. Do you think we ever underestimate the seriousness of the choices that we make? Are we ever guilty of doing that? Do we fail to recognize that nothing ever is really an isolated event? You know, that choices tend to have a cumulative effect? That habits, whether they're good habits or bad habits, are formed by choosing to do the same thing or choosing to do similar things over and over again? You know, really every choice we make plays a part in shaping who we are. We've all known people whose lives were changed by just one decision. We can probably all think of somebody along those lines. Or at least that's the way it appeared to us when we looked on their situation. But while that's true, while most of the choices we might make don't have quite that drastic of an effect on our lives, we do need to recognize that they all contribute to making us who we are. And every decision we make, every act we engage in, every deed either serves to make us better or it serves to make us worse. And even those small choices, sometimes they're more significant than we give credit. Although our primary focus this evening is on personal responsibility, let me also point out for just a moment that this is one of the reasons why parents need to take seriously their responsibility that Paul gives in Ephesians 6 and verse 4 to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Paul indicated that's primarily the responsibility of fathers, but we get both parents need to be involved in that. And we know it's said sometimes kids will be kids, and I think that's true, but let me tell you something else. Parents need to be parents. That's the answer to kids being kids. And even good kids will make mistakes, but parents can't afford to ignore those things or treat them as, you know, mere youthful indiscretions. We can't treat them as though they don't count, that they don't matter. Because let me tell you this. Let me ask you this. Do you want to know how people who are completely selfish came to be that way? One selfish decision at a time, regardless of how insignificant each of them may have seemed. Do you want to know how people who come to the point where they constantly lie about everything? One lie at a time. Even those that are sometimes categorized as the little white lies, they build up. Do you want to know how some people come to the point where they no longer even make the effort to serve God? By one faith-eroding decision at a time. That's how it's done. And regardless of the fact that some of them may have seemed like they were really only relatively significant, mostly insignificant. You know, one thing we need to recognize is that no one is standing still. That's not a possibility. And so with each thing we do, we're building up a character that will make it progressively easier to act in some ways and more difficult to act in other ways. And with every choice we make, we're either growing closer to God or we're growing more distant from Him. But nobody's standing still. I want to take a moment to look at what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to start reading in verse 17. Paul says there, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But this is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness, he says. You got to make some changes there. We're either living that old person life, that old self life, or that new self life, and we're either growing closer to God or we're growing more distant from him. The writer of Hebrews would say in Hebrews 5 and verse 14, talk about the fact that solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. We need that kind of thing. And some people seem to look at things and think, well, you know, I'm not a bad person. I just habitually do bad things, you know, as though there's some kind of disconnect between all of that. It's not that big a deal in their mind. And I get, and I know you do as well, I realize we all sin and we fall short of the glory of God. And even people who want to do what is right fail. You know, John would say in 1 John 1 and verse 8 that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I understand that, and you do too. But if we think we can choose to live how we want to live and it not reflect who we are, then we've really deceived ourselves. If you want to know who you are, look at the way you choose to live. Other people seem to think that they can live the way they want to for a time and I'll just turn it around somewhere at the end. I'll live my life the way that I want to, and when it's coming to the end of things, I'll get everything turned around, and I'll decide to be the person that I should be. And I'll go ahead and tell you, that is theoretically possible. But it usually doesn't work that way. More often than not, the person who tries to do that ultimately grows accustomed to living a life of sin. They become calloused and they lose any sensitivity that they had to the gospel of Christ. And that's because the longer something is practiced, the harder it is to quit. You ever notice that? That's true of drinking Dr. Pepper, I'll just go ahead and tell you. It's true of everything. You know, it's with great difficulty that we change the course that our life is going. It's hard to turn the ship around. And the reality is that it is easier to resist making bad habits than it is to break bad habits. That's how that is. But with the time that we have remaining this evening, I want us to talk a little bit about the fact that it can be both sobering and encouraging to recognize that every act counts, to know that every deed makes a difference. To recognize that every act counts can be sobering for this reason, because we know what God plans to do. He's told us. He said that he's going to take every deed into account, and he's going to do that when he evaluates our lives. As we read in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14, God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. It's all going to be laid out. And what that says is that no decision is too small to be considered insignificant. And yet, how many times have we been like children on the playground and have basically said, that didn't count. We're not going to add that in. We may grant ourselves that kind of exception, but the truth is God does not. And we may think at times that we have simply acted carelessly or maybe haphazardly, and yet we need to understand that there are consequences attached to the choices that we make that are eternal and that we are responsible for those things. Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, he said, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. I'll just go and tell you, that's probably one of the most frightening verses in all of the Bible. And if there's one area where we tend to act rashly, is it not with our speech? I mean, how often do we think about the fact that we will give an account of the words that come from our mouth for every careless word that we speak in this life? I can almost guarantee you that we don't think about that as much as we probably should. It's a sobering thought. And if that's sobering, what about the fact that Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 5 that the Lord will also bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart? That sounds even more frightening, doesn't it? There is not going to be a stone left unturned when the Lord evaluates our lives. And what that ought to cause us to do is to live soberly before Him. Let me ask you, do you know that the torment of hell is not really some kind of arbitrary punishment for people who just happen to engage in certain activities? More accurately, it is the end result of those very things. It is the inevitable consequence of sinful activity, except for those who are forgiven in Christ. And that's why sin's so serious. The Apostle Paul made an interesting statement when he wrote to the church in Rome. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 21, he would say to them there, "What benefit did you get from doing those things that you are now ashamed of? For those things resulted in death." And what he was saying is, what was the benefit of those things that you used to do before you became a Christian? Where did those things get you? What was the end result of all of that? And his answer is that these things resulted in death, spiritual death. The end or the outcome of these things was separation from God. That's what it got us. And what the Scriptures tell us is that God is not going to inadvertently or mistakenly consign some people to eternal punishment. Those who will be forced to endure it will be people who demanded it by the choices that they made when they lived their lives in this world. And the unfortunate thing about that is that relatively few of these people will be people who set out to be wicked. But as the poet Robert Louis Stevenson once said, "Sooner or later, we must all sit down to a banquet of consequences." And that's true whether we like what's on the menu or not. It's a dangerous thing to say no to God, even once. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25, the writer says there, "See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven." We just can't escape when we do that. But I also want to point out this evening, I want us to recognize that the fact that every act counts can also be encouraging. Because what it means is that we can never say that our lives are helpless or hopeless, not as long as we're drawing breath and we're in this world. There's never a point in this life when we can no longer choose to make a change for the better, and that ought to encourage us. I can't help but think of the parable of the prodigal son. In fact, I want you to turn over there, and I want us to read it this evening, beginning in Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. The Lord said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had, and he took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one was giving him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose, came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" And I love the last little expression, "And they began to celebrate." What that says, it doesn't matter how far someone has gone. It doesn't matter how spiritually malnourished they are. It doesn't matter how thick the slop is that they're sitting in. They can choose to do something about it. They can acknowledge where they are, and they can get up, and they can return to the Father. That's what that story says. And I'll tell you, this is a message that people in our world need to hear. Have you ever come across someone who was convinced that there was absolutely no way they could change the direction of their lives? It's like it was set in stone, and there's nothing they could do. It's as if they felt they had reached the point of no return. They'd done so many things contrary to the will of God that He couldn't possibly take them back. I tell you, fortunately, nothing could be further from the truth. Because what this passage said is God wants people to return to Him. And the rest of the scriptures tell us the same thing. Years ago when I lived in Odessa, I had a conversation with a man who was, he was dying. He was in his 80s. He had congestive heart failure. And when I was talking to him, you know, he knew that it was just a matter of time. I knew that it was just a matter of time. He was not a Christian. And as we talked about things, he made a statement that went something like this. He said, I suppose a man can change at any point in life. And I didn't quote that the way that it sounded because it was a direct statement that he made, but it sounded like a question. Have you ever heard someone say something like that? I suppose a man could change at any point in life. And we didn't read the parable of the prodigal son, but we did look at some other scripture that spoke to that issue, that there is a God who is merciful and who is patient and who wants people to come back to Him. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness. It's not why this world still exists, but He is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And then a few verses later in verse 15, count the patience of our Lord as salvation, Peter says. That's why He's patient. The fact that we can decide to change for the better should be a source of encouragement, not just for those who are out there who are not Christians, but for those of us who are Christians as well, but who maybe haven't necessarily been heading in the right direction, making good choices, doing what we know we ought to do. Regardless of where we are in our spiritual lives, we can take steps. Regardless of how small or how insignificant they may seem, we can take steps that will lead us closer to the Lord. So we need to recognize life is serious business. And it pays to live it carefully. Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, look carefully then how you walk. Pay attention to it. It is sobering to recognize that every decision we make and every act we engage in reaches into eternity. And it ought to cause us to take responsibility for the choices that we make when we've made bad choices or whatever, to take responsibility for those things. But on the other hand, we ought to be encouraged by the fact that we can make a difference for good. We can turn in the right direction. We can start serving the Lord and being faithful to Him. The truth is, we need to be grateful for the opportunities that God gives us to make the changes that we need to make. And we need to commit ourselves to making better choices in the future than we have in the past. To just make the decision that I'm going to serve the Lord. And with everything that I do, I'm not taking a vacation from that. I'm not letting myself off today where I do my will rather than His. And tomorrow I'll get back on track. No, every act counts. That all has an impact on who we are. So every day we can make the decision that today I will serve the Lord and I will not veer from that. And so the question for you tonight is this. Will you make that commitment? Make it now. Will you not take it back tomorrow when you're tempted to do your will? Later on, when something pops up that you didn't foresee and you begin to think, you know, well, maybe I'd like to do that instead. Don't do it. may even have the motive of saying, well, I'll get back on track. Has an impact on who you are. Leaves a mark on your character. Makes it harder to do the right thing the next time. So make the commitment tonight and stick with it that you're going to serve the Lord and you're going to serve Him faithfully. If you owe some duty to God tonight, you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, make that decision. Make that the act that you engage in tonight, obeying the Lord. Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. He made that promise, and He'll keep it. You become a child of God. You become a disciple of Jesus Christ. You have your sins forgiven, and you obey the gospel. And then just follow the Lord the rest of the way. If you become a Christian at some point, you recognize there are decisions that I have made that I am not proud of, that I know they are not God's will for me. As we've said tonight, you can make changes. While you still draw breath in this world, God grants you that opportunity. Take advantage of the opportunity. If we can help you tonight with that, which is the reason we are here. We come together to help one another as we serve the Lord. If we can help you tonight, we ask you to come as we stand and as we sing.